Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast alongside me, just like every week, Manager Jacob. What's up?
Sarah, what is up? What, in fact, what is up?
What is up? What is up? I'm trying to find a new, unique way to do these intros.
Threw me off a little bit. I'm sorry. Having a good time.
It was kind of like a sing song, but not really a sing song. So.
Should we do a musical episode?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What we should do is talk about what we are drinking or eating this week and kick it off.
Okay, Sarah, throwback to Jacob when he was 11 playing rec league soccer in the summer.
Yep.
I know that this is a shared experience that probably most people in Ontario have. Maybe most people in Canada.
Maybe North America.
Lot of people in the world.
Yeah.
However, it's specific to my experience here. Orange slices on the soccer field.
Yep.
I
classic.
Had an orange the other day. Listen, I don't
wait,
know.
Wait, oh, it wasn't like orange slices playing soccer. You just had an orange?
Yeah, well, I'm getting there. I think I'm in my citrus era. I'm putting it on salads.
My citrus era.
You ever had a blood orange in a salad?
No,
it is good.
No,
try
I haven't.
It. Try okay. that for your next recipe.
Okay.
Side salad, blood orange salad.
Okay.
Butter lettuce. It's good. But I had an orange for breakfast the other day and I cut it open and I don't know what happened. I must have just been like, you know, feeling some kind of otherworldly mm-hmm. energy because I cut it and I was like, that is the perfect orange slice. And it reminded me, took me all the way back to that soccer field. And it actually made me a little nostalgic and a little sad because I hadn't had oranges on the soccer field for a while.
So I think this just means you should bring orange slices to your next soccer game.
And I did want to ask you, I think I will do that, but in soccer or any sports, were you orange slices, freezies, or watermelon?
Freezies. I was a really picky eater as a kid. I didn't eat a lot of fruit.
Really?
I don't like the texture. I don't like oranges.
Like pulpy stuff that gets
between
your teeth?
Yeah, I never liked that. So I'll eat an orange now, but like growing up, I wouldn't. I refused to.
What
or I would suck the juice out. That's all I would do.
Okay, if you're a freezy person, what's the best flavor
white.
Of freezy? White. Yeah.
Is that a flavor? Whatever the white one
yeah,
is.
Whatever
it's a
it
flavor.
Is. Sarah, what about you? What are you eating or drinking this week?
If we're talking about eras, and you follow me on Instagram, I won't shut up about it, as if I'm...
I
just discovered boba.
You're like a boba influencer.
No, like literally, like boba, first of all, I grew up in Cobra. We need some context. I talked about this in like, I think it was a vlog with Tara, because we got boba before we did our reading challenge.
Yeah.
I grew up in Cobourg, Ontario. Mm-hmm. We sure as hell did not have boba, milk tea, whatever. We didn't have bubble tea, any of it.
You guys didn't know what tapioca balls were?
No, I didn't. And then I was so freaked out about like texture of things that I never thought I would like it because I didn't think I would like the tapioca balls.
I mean, the tapioca balls are a little freaky.
But I think I'd only had... No, the first time I had boba was Julia's wedding. That was this summer.
Really?
I don't have friends that like get boba
totally
or whatever.
Totally
so I just
fair.
Like never had
That's
it.
Almost
and
like-
it's intimidating when you don't know... what to order. I had no idea what to go in and order. So then Julia's wedding had a cha time truck. Mm-hmm. So it was amazing because it was free. So yeah. I got to go up and I tried a milk tea, which was her favorite. And I got to try a mango boba and it changed my life.
Good opportunity to sample.
Exactly. So I got to sample and then it kind of like went away. Like I just was like, oh, that was amazing. And then I never like got it again. And then when Tara and I got it before our reading challenge, I was
Is Tara a big boba person?
Like a decent, like I think when she lived in LA, she was more of a boba person. Okay. So it was like, I was like, oh, I'll get one too because I liked the mango one. And now I've had one every single day because it's like a little sweet treat and a snack all in one. And I'm obsessed. And I'm well aware that drinking one daily is probably not good for me. Like I'm fully, I've been doing the light sugar. I switched, but it's like
when
I'm
craving. Can you start drinking them like on train, like in the middle of a half marathon or something? Like that'll be the.
That'll be my new, because this is the thing. I've been swapping out my afternoon coffee for an afternoon milk tea, boba, bubble tea, whatever.
That is fun.
And so I've been switching it out because like me getting like a vanilla latte in the afternoon is probably the same amount of sugar as me getting a boba.
Okay, I am not a boba person. I like it. I just like it's not my go-to.
Yeah,
just, it's not my, I'm just it's in not a phase. My huge thing. I have to ask you though, like, are the straws big paper straws? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, some of them still serve plastic straws, but you're not supposed to know. But yeah, they're big paper straws.
Got some like underground plastic.
No, they're big paper straws. They're big paper straws. So I discovered a new place in Union Station today that I went to, and then I'm trying to mix it up. I'm trying different things. Mango milk tea still has my heart. That's still my favorite. But get it daily now. I'm gonna get one. Like tomorrow I'm going to my first wet tonic class and I will get a boba after. Like I just know myself when I walk back.
Ooh, are you going to the well or are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to the well. I've never been to sweat and tonic before. Anyways.
Okay, fine.
Boba. I'm drinking boba, lots of it. Stay tuned if I get sick of it in the coming weeks. It probably will happen.
Sarah, what are you watching or reading this week?
So I referenced the 24-hour readathon, but I'll talk about that later if you saw my TikTok video.
I think the whole world saw all your...
Look, I got asked so many questions at work about it, but I'll talk about that after. So I finally read Fourth Wing, which right. is... You're like, right.
Right.
What is that?
So, no, I watched your TikTok, so I'm in the know. So but for anyone else who doesn't, what's it about?
Fourth Wing is like... So we know I didn't shut up about A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's like a same romantic-y style book. Nothing will top ACOTAR. Mm-hmm. And I also just think objectively ACOTAR is better, in my opinion.
How long is this series?
So far, only two books. It's going to be five. Okay. But it's only two books so far.
Okay, because I know you talked about this. You could just dive into ACOTAR and read it all once, right? But this one, you have to wait.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait. Well, ACOTAR, I technically still have to wait. But yes, like the main part of ACOTAR, I was able to dive in and just read it all once. Whereas this one, so that's why I was like, so I read Fourth Wing. And then I immediately was able to start Iron Flame, which is the second book. Thank God. Because the cliffhanger at the end of Fourth Wing, I'm like... Turn to people who have like read it like a year ago when it came out. I go, you had to wait for the next book? That's wild. So I'm sure there's going to be another cliffhanger at the end of Iron Flame. So I'm reading that now as well. But it's really great. Like I honestly, like it's giving me the same feeling and vibes as ACOTAR did, which is like what I've been craving. So we've been like on a 5-star reading kick in 2024, which is very exciting.
This is a big back-to-back because you were coming out of a slump at the end of last year.
Massive slump. And now I've read almost as many books this year as I read last year.
Wild.
Not like fully, but like pretty much. Because last year was that bad of a slump. I don't even think... I think I read like 12 books last year. Like it was...
Yeah, same. Not big.
Half books don't count. How about you? What are you watching or reading?
Okay, well, I'm excited because the guest that we have on today is all about movies. And I am in my movie era right now.
Love
so
that
I'm
for you.
Still trying to work through all the Oscar-nominated films. Mm-hmm. So I watched American Fiction last night.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. I liked it a lot. It is one of the movies that hasn't got as much buzz, I think,
did you go
as
in
some
blind?
Of the other
like, did you
ones.
Know
so
what
I kind of went
about?
In blind. Yeah, okay. I knew that he was a writer, but I didn't really know anything else beyond that. Mm-hmm. I did like it. There were some slower portions kind of in the middle that it was kind of just sitting there being like, okay, let's maybe scroll the phone a little bit. But I think the ending was worth it where it kind of gets a little bit meta. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's good. I would recommend it for sure. And Jeffrey Wright, who is the lead, is just like fantastic. And then also, what's his name? Is it Sterling K. Brown?
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown.
He's good in everything that
he
is in.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's an unbelievable
such
actor.
A good actor. Yeah, he's got a supporting role in this one, but it's good.
What are we listening to?
Okay, speaking about throwing back to nostalgic soccer days, what I'm listening to this week, you ever listen to Vampire Weekend?
No.
Yeah,
my
probably
because
I'm a little bit older. Is that why?
My sister used to listen to Vampire Weekend, I think.
Oh, got good
but
taste.
But I didn't. Then. I didn't. I never did.
Okay.
What's a song? What's a Vampire Weekend song?
Walcott?
I've never heard. What?
Okay,
did you just say? Did you say Walcott?
Yeah, you're gonna have to go back and listen.
I've never heard of this in my life.
Here's what I like about it, though, is that it was a band that, like, really I listened to heavily in my probably early 20s.
Okay.
Now they took a long hiatus.
I saw they're coming back and doing a show.
Yeah, they just released one. Yeah, they're touring again, and they're coming out with a new album. And they just released the first single, and it was just, you know, the experience when a band that you've liked or an artist you've liked has been away for a long time. You kind of forget about them a little bit, but they come back, and you're like, this is just
as good.
That's
why I need Kings of Leon to, like, put out a new album and come and tour, because, like, that would.
Have you seen them live?
No, they're one of the only bands I haven't seen live.
Okay, I also haven't seen Vampire Weekend live, so I might have to go to this tour.
That's so exciting! It's Budstage, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, great venue too. That's so exciting.
Yes. What about you? What are you listening to?
Well, the weather is fluctuating, but it's been pretty warm again. Mm-hmm. And when it's warm, I associate that with Yeehaw. So I'm back in country music, and I don't have anything specific that I'm listening to. It's like, you know, like Spotify makes those things for you that's like country mix or whatever. It's not like the Daylist. So it's like half your songs you already like, and then mixing them with some other stuff. So I've just been listening to that. A lot of Kelsey Ballerini specifically. Because I love her album.
Yeah, what if Spotify is creating a playlist for you that's country focused? They know you. Is it more slow, kind of sadder?
No,
I'd
say
Kelsey Ballerini is a little bit like that right now.
That her one album is, but not like her other stuff isn't.
That's true.
I would say it's a solid mix, but they have two different ones. There's upbeat country, and then there's slow country.
Right. One's so, like, I guess you listen to the slower one now, and then.
I've been listening to the upbeat one while I like work out at the gym. Country's fun to work out too. Fun to work out too. But yeah, I do listen to a lot of Sad Girl Country though. I do on the regular basis. It's like a mix of Luke Combs, Kelsey Ballerini, and old Taylor Swift is what it recommends.
Do you have any friends or who don't like country music? And if so, what would be like the one intro artist that you would say listen to some of their music to get into it?
I think it really depends on what they already listen to.
Okay.
They're into
pop, maybe a little bit of.
Okay, look, I think Kelsey Ballerini is a great example if you're into pop, because she's basically pop, but she's like Taylor Swift Fearless/Speak Now era. That's the type of music Kelsey Ballerini makes.
Yeah.
I think Thomas Rhett makes really fun music that most people like. Connor Smith, who we had on the podcast, honestly, like, I was playing it in the car and Nolan was like, oh, this guy's like unreal. I was like, yeah, he also loved the song I Hate Alabama, so like that was part of it. But
and a nice guy
and a great guy, so I think he's a good example. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to see Brooks and Dunn this summer. Like, they're 90s country. I was trying to listen to songs. I was like, oh my god, I don't know any of their music. I realized the only reason I know who Brooks and Dunn is because they're referenced in songs. Like, people will say, like, put on the Brooks and Dunn or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm now panicking slightly that I'm going to go to, like, there's going to be a lot of.
Well, you have time to go through the discography and listen to everything.
I already started to listen. I don't think I like it. I don't think I like it. It's got, like, the one song that's, like, the Neon Moon.
I can't sing it.
Anyways, so as a pop country girly, the Thomas Rhett's, the Jordan Davis, the Kelsey Ballerini's of the world. Yeah. That's my vibe. I'm not fully like a deep house country person.
Sarah, somewhere you went this week.
I went and set a world record.
Whoa.
I was in attendance. Well, I didn't really set it. I was in attendance for it. So I think that means I helped set the world
record.
You
were definitely part of it. What was
for
it?
For the largest attendance of a women's hockey game ever.
Oh.
19,400 people.
At Scotiabank Arena, right?
At Scotiabank Arena.
Amazing.
And guess who was the rowdiest fan there? This girl. Guess who was starting ref you suck chants? This girl. I literally, when I go to like hockey games, like Leafs games, I just sit there and like drink a drink and I'm just like, okay, like it's the Leafs and whatever. When I was at a PWHL Toronto game, I was screaming at Marie Flute Plan. I go, this isn't Team Canada. We don't like you here in Toronto. Like, I was wilding.
Okay, I like this,
but it was
so
fun. Because, like, my friends and I was a group of eight of us that went. When else could eight of us go to a hockey game?
Yeah.
Like, a Leafs game would be, like, $3,000 for us all to go to a Leafs game together. So it was so fun because it was a group of eight of us. It was, like, $30. It was a great Friday night. We went to the bar after. We were riding the high. They won. It was so much fun. Like, genuinely so much fun. I wish all the games were at Scotiabank Arena. Obviously, they're not. But it was such a good. And I cried a little bit because, like, for like 10-year-old me who played hockey and just wanted to be like a hockey player, like getting to see that was so crazy. Like there was a lot of kids around us, so I had to like chill in on the swearing when I was like yelling at the referees. But but it was really cool to see them being like, oh, they're going to get to like grow up knowing that if they want to become a professional hockey player, they can, which was really cool.
I know. I think about that all the time because my niece is now a year and a half old, just almost two. And I'm just like, whoa. She will, I don't know if she would want to be grow up and be a hockey player because she's so young, but like this is so different than when I was a child at that age too, which is fantastic.
It's really exciting.
Setting world records is fun.
You should go to a game.
I would love to, but isn't it all sold out?
They're all sold out.
I know. But I was trying to, and
they
sometimes like, there are no
do
tickets.
Day of ticket drops. PWHL Toronto, if you want to send us to a game, let us know. I'm rowdy. But I'm rowdy for you.
We should have a player on. We should talk to a player.
100% we should. Let us know who we should talk to. Where somewhere you went.
Okay. I have a recommendation, new recommendation for a cocktail bar slash place to go and get small plates. I know that you're into the small plates. And guess what? For once on this podcast, I'm not going to recommend something that is in the East End.
Where is it?
All the way down on Bathurst and Queen.
It's, wait, so it's near me.
It is, yeah. So if you haven't been, I don't know if you've been to 416 Snack Bar, which is on Bathurst.
Yeah.
They have a relatively new one around the corner on Queen called Short Turn, which is basically designed to look like a streetcar-ish with like curved ceilings. It is one of the most beautiful little bars that I've ever been in. And then they have a back room as well that is like kind of open to the kitchen. Some of the best food that I've... Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan, and it's kind of the same menu as 416 Snack Bar.
Whatever,
around the 416 corner.
Snack Bar is amazing.
However,
so that's
great. Yes, exactly. And it's just a lot, I think it's maybe even a little bit bigger, the menu. And then it's more cocktail focused, and they like are so good. And by far, probably the best playlist that has been in a bar in a long time.
Were they just playing Jacob's Songs of Summer?
I didn't want to say, but yeah, I took the aux and I plugged in, so it was me.
Is this like a reservation or a walk-in sitch?
No reservations.
So
I
it's
don't
a walk-in.
I think that they just started doing
did
reservations.
Did you have to wait a long time?
No. Well, we went after, we went to the it used to be called Friday Night Live, but the ROM After Dark
event. Got it, yep.
Which is pretty fun, and then just went after that. Okay, cool. So it was kind of a little bit later in the evening.
I just always get stressed on things like restaurants that are new and popular. I'm like, or relatively new, whatever, about whether they're because Toronto's so finicky. But like, some things being walk-in only, some things being a reservation. We have limited reservations. Like it's so finicky about all of it.
Yeah, I would say check that out. And you know what? Hot off the heels of our episode talking about Valentine's Day and love and dating, I would say it was maybe it could be like an amazing date spot.
Oh, I love that.
So
good to know.
Take your date there.
What's
next
it called again?
After you slide into the DMs, called Short Turn.
Short Turn. Love that. What's something that you did this week?
Okay, Sarah, this is a big one. I've been calling them goon goggles, but they're called the Apple Vision Pro. It's the headset, the like VR.
Did your brother buy
it? My brother bought one. He had to drive to Syracuse, New York.
Why? Because they didn't have it in Canada?
Well, the parts, I guess it's so difficult to make this thing that they didn't make that many, and they only released a certain amount, and he had to buy one from the Apple store in Syracuse. So we went down and got it a couple weeks ago, and luckily I didn't have to go down and do that.
Is it sick?
It is.
A mindfuck? Like?
I've used various types of augmented
VR
reality
things,
virtual reality, the Oculus you can put on, you can put the thing, your phone in some of the cardboard ones. The Oculus was good. This is so fucking good. It is the most incredible viewing experience I've ever had. They just announced, or there are rumblings, that actually the MLS over the last season shot like a ton of games, including the playoffs, in with like 18 spatial cameras on the field.
So you're gonna be able to watch it.
There is a clip in this like promo video that starts off with Alicia Keys singing to you, which feels like she is in front of you. And then there is Inter Miami, a portion of like 2 seconds only in this promo video so far that I got to watch, that was like Inter Miami scoring a goal. And it was the most incredible. It was almost better than being in a stadium because you were on
that
the cross.
That scares the shit out of me.
You feel like you are...
You saying it's almost better than being in a... It's like, I bet it was. That's why it's scary.
Yeah. Well, no, it was like the first time that I've experienced
that
kind
level.
Of VR
that
I'm like, oh, this is next.
Like, gonna be one of those moments that in 10 years when we're all like when we're still doing this podcast in 10 years and people are watching us as if they're sitting right here.
Exactly. It was like watching their promo video, everything from like nature documentary stuff to music, live concerts to sports and everything. It's like a 2-minute long video. And I was like, this is how I want to watch
everything. Well, because isn't it like you can be in your living room, no one's gonna have TVs anymore, you can sit there, put it on, you can like decide the size of the screen, you can have like things on the side,
and
you can,
it is like so easy and intuitive to use, that like moving screens around and like turning up how augmented it is, so you can totally black it out, or you can like do half,
like
you
still see be like in the room
and then you see like people's faces and whatnot that you're talking to them. It feels, you know, can you reach out and you're not quite touching something. Yeah. This one, you reach out and it is exact. You're like picking up the phone and it feels like the phone is right there. I don't know. I could talk about this for so long, but it was the first time I experienced it. And I'm like, everyone, it's so fucking expensive. Don't go out and buy one right now. But once the price comes down, I was like, this is going to change everything.
Well, we literally could not have done two more different things. Like, you're like, you're going on about like augmented reality and like the future and whatever. And I'm like, disconnected from the world and read books for 24 hours.
So that's your something you did this
week? That's my something I did this week. I did the 24-hour reading challenge. Tara and I had seen people do it on TikTok, and then we literally had to like schedule a day in the calendar. And the long weekend worked for me because then I like didn't lose my whole weekend to it or whatever. It was wild. Talk about like a mind fuck. Like, time is not real. Like, I knew that, but it's like not until I'm like sitting there being like, oh, I've been reading for 4 hours straight and I have not moved off this couch. You don't realize like there was something so special though, but like setting aside the time just to like dive in, especially a fantasy book where it's like you want to be immersed in the world and like feel like you're there and feel like you're living in it, that it made it so exciting. Like, it just like, I don't know, I felt like I got more out of the book because of it, because I wasn't even distracted. There was nothing like, oh, I can only read for 20 minutes before bed and then I have to like go to sleep because I have to work. Like, it was just so fun getting to like fully dive in. And then also Tara was reading A Court of Thorns and Roses for the first time and I was reading Fourth Wing. We'd both read the other book.
Yeah.
So like her asking me questions and me having to try and keep a straight face and not like give away anything that happens. And then same with Fourth Wing, like me saying things and then her looking at me like, yeah, who knows what happens. And then like, I don't, like, it was just really cool to be able to like talk about our favorite books as we did it. So I read like 600 pages. We chatted in between, like, so obviously like you chit chat, we slept. So
how much sleep did you actually get?
6 hours.
Okay.
6 hours of sleep, then I'd say a couple hours total. I think 8 hours of it, remove it, but it was still like a lot of reading. Other than
that's a ton of reading.
Yeah, anything over 10 hours is a lot of it. So, and we just kept looking, like, it was crazy. It all merged into one day. It didn't
would
feel
you do
like
it again?
100%, except for next time we're gonna like book a spa weekend and do it
there. Oh yeah, okay.
Having the one couch was like a lot. Like, I think we tried to change scenery, it didn't really work. So I think being somewhere where we could have like moved around a little bit more.
Or would you do it at the cottage?
Yeah, exactly. Or
inside,
like
outside
beach, like, like summertime, like you can move around. So somewhere where you can move to multiple places. Like, we kind of did it when we were at the spa in PEI. Like there was a whole day where the four of us girls just were reading our books and we just like moved hot tub to reading room to cottage.
That's
like
so
all those
fun.
Things. But it was so much fun and I loved it, and I didn't really look at my phone and I didn't really like.
It's also fun to do it with a friend that like is on the same page
about
that too.
That's why it was so fun, because like we were both like so excited about it. If you would have told me 3 years ago I would have spent 24 hours reading, I would have been like, did I get kidnapped? Like, what happened? Have we gone back to the Mennonite era? Like, that's what I would have thought happened. But I literally, like, it was so much fun, and I would do it monthly as a brain reset, to be honest. And I was exhausted after. I came home and I like was reading again because I was like so into my book. And I fell asleep like like 9 p.m. And I was like, it felt like I worked out because my brain was so tired.
It has to be a mental workout. Like, it felt 600 plus pages is huge. But
it was, and the font is so tiny. So like, it's not like 600 like pages of a normal book. I probably felt like more like 1,000 pages. But
did I see that you also swapped between e-reader and
physical book? Yeah, I mostly read on my e-reader, but when my e-reader would like die, I would switch to the physical book.
Okay, yeah. Did you have a preference for that?
E-reader is always my preference. Yeah. It's way easier to read on an e-reader.
Yeah.
And that's why I can like cruise through a lot faster, because I can make the font bigger. When I had to go I was like, am I blind? Like, when I had to go to the tiny font, I'm like holding the book like right up to my face. But if you were looking for a sign to do the 24-hour reading challenge, you absolutely should, because even if you just like chit chat for half the time, whatever, it's a great night with a girlfriend. So it was so fun. Our next guest is a broadcast professional and creator of the song with years of experience in the world of entertainment. She's been on the biggest carpets, talked to the biggest stars, and is an endless supporter of Canadian talent. She's here to bring her expert opinion on all things film this award season. Please welcome Terry Hart.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I feel like I got invited to the cool kids table.
I love that. Well, we're just ready to like pick your brain, talk all things. Before the episode was recording, we were already like going off about all these like the state of media and film and this and that. So I'm very excited for this episode. But I do want to give you the opportunity to like kind of tell our listeners how you found yourself. I mean, not here at Talking Fast, but I mean, I guess the long way around to here. And I just find yourself in media and entertainment, because I think people are always so fascinating because no one's two like routes are the same way.
Yeah, no, there's definitely no two routes. I mean, in some ways, I feel like I was predestined. I worked at a movie theater in high school.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time in movie theaters as a teenager and serving popcorn, and then got promoted to like, you know, the box office. That was a promotion.
Oh, my God.
And, and then I started off in radio. I took radio broadcasting at Humber College. Shout out Humber.
Shout out Humber.
And it was a great 2-year program. Didn't know what I wanted to do. I'm an October baby. So I was like 17 when I was graduating high school.
Oh, true.
And I was just like, I don't know what to do. And everybody's like, stay in school or you're going to, you know, get a job at Tuxedo Royale and you will be working there forever and ever. And I was like, I don't want to do that. So went, and then within my, in between my first and second year, I got a job at CKNX in Wingham, Ontario. And
Wingham.
Yeah,
wow.
Wingham. Postal code NOG2WO. No one goes to Wingham, Ontario. I'm kidding. That. It's a great, great part of the province of Ontario. And then I really did fall in love with radio. I think that it is the best medium out there. It's the best medium to communicate a thought. Anybody who wants to be on camera should do radio first. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to get a thought from here out of your mouth before you worry about anything else.
That's true. There's a reason at school they always teach us radio is the first class you take at RTA,
right.
At TMU, because it's like the, it's if you don't have audio, you don't have video, right?
It's foundation.
So it's, like, it's, yeah, exactly. It's how you build the house.
Yeah, it's foundation of communication, I think. And then I went and worked at CFNY, which is now The Edge. I think I was 21.
Oh, wow.
Then I went from there to Q107, and I was the community cruiser reporter.
Nice.
It was a time. I worked there from when I was 21 to 24, and then they were starting a TV show at the Movie Network, which back in the day was 24-hour movie channel, kind of Canada's equivalent to HBO. It's now Crave. And I'd never stood in front of a TV camera before in my life, and I went and auditioned, and I got the job. And I worked there for 19 years.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I worked there. So that was 1996. I'm old. and I worked there for 19 years, and I grew up there, and I learned movies there, and I interviewed everybody there. It was kind of the heyday of independent movies in the early aughts and Miramax time. And
Yeah.
You know, I was, you know, I'd go to LA. I treated LA like a bus stop, and I'd go and, you know, you jump from interviewing Ben Affleck to, you know, Robert Redford to Denzel Washington to, and it was just, that was one weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it was such an exciting time. Then Bell bought Astral.
Yeah.
And then I worked there for like a year or so. Then they fired me, because that's what happens when companies buy each other. Freelance for a bit, then I worked at Rogers for a while, was on breakfast television, reported there, left there in 2019, and I've been freelancing. I work at Super Channel now, which love, and I do all kinds of, you know, independent freelance reporting. I do stuff on CBC, do a lot of radio there, and I'm here because basically I stalked Sarah. I mean, I kind of cyber stalked Sarah, and I'm like, oh my God, like what a talent, like what a talent. And I want to know her. And then I met her at an event, and I was like nervous, and because I have interviewed Oprah Winfrey.
Lauren introduced us finally, I think is what it was. Lauren DeRush introduced us. I don't know if you remember though, the first time we actually were on at an event together, it was a virtual event for Netflix. You probably don't know this, but it was a Clausen Chase Netflix like the wine drinking, the wine tasting.
I remember that.
Where it was the different wines that, it was a peak pandemic event. It was like 2020, like, or 2021. Yeah, it was 2021, peak pandemic. And I'm just like sitting in my living room. The best part is Haley was sitting beside me while doing it. And she was like, I'd be on mute. She goes, so that's Terry. That, like, she's pointing out all the people, which was so funny. And like Lawrence must have been like, we know Haley's sitting beside you sharing the wine. Like, she can be on camera, but we were just like trying to post it. But that was actually the first time I, like, we didn't meet, but that was like my first like interaction with you, and I always loved your energy. So then when we met in person, it was,
I love it.
The rest is history.
When you made the, I want to go back to your history a little bit, because when you made the transition from radio to then being in front of the camera, this is something that, like, you know, as Sarah's manager, she roped me into the podcast here, which I love, but it is a transition to being aware of yourself in front of the camera. Is that something that, you know, you said you went and did it for 19 years after that, is, and then continued on. Did you always foresee yourself being on TV or sticking around in TV or going back to radio? Or how did you envision that?
I mean, it's interesting, Jacob. The time is so different now, right? Like, back then, when we're talking about 1996, 1997, there was no social media. I mean, people didn't have cell phones.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, people had a Rolodex on their desk.
Yeah.
So the idea of being on television was a really kind of elevated position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It
for sure.
was...
Yeah, it was like status, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like an influencer position. So I had no dreams of that. And people get frustrated when I say that. People are like, you've had this amazing career and you've had these amazing experiences. Was this always something you dreamt of? And it wasn't. I mean, I'm a kid from Brantford, Ontario. Mm-hmm. My dad was, you know, a middle upper manager, and my mom was a nurse. This was not in my wheelhouse of what you could do for a living.
Yeah.
And so each step along the way of... It's not like I had a big plan. It's not like I was trying to satisfy this dream in my head. So I was really able to be in the moment. So when I had to be on camera, when I got a job to be on camera, it was like, I'm going to learn this. I had no preconceived notions. And I think that worked for me and against me, you know, kind of.
I feel like, though, it's really great when you're just kind of like, oh, okay, guess I'm doing this now. Like, that's such a great and healthy, but it's also nice because I'm sure, like, with, like, working in entertainment and media, like, there's so, it's a lot of it is about like chasing this thing that people don't know what they're chasing, and then when they reach the top of the mountain, they're like, oh, this is it. So I would assume it was maybe a healthy balance for you then to be able to, like, just be in the moment and live in the moment as opposed to chasing whatever mountaintop that other people are trying to climb.
Yeah, I mean, I really loved being a company girl. Like, I really loved working for a company. I really loved having a common goal and having colleagues.
Yeah,
and
like a team atmosphere.
Yeah. Would I have done better in my job, in my career, if I had bounced around and tried to go to other shows?
Yeah, like the
whatever?
Ladder climbing a little bit, yeah.
But it was never really in my DNA. Like, my DNA is, I like this. I'm going to try to do as well at this as I can. And I think that, I mean, I don't know if this is right or not, but I think you can still learn without leaving. You won't make more money. You have to leave to make more money. That is for sure. But you can learn 100%. Without leaving.
You can evolve too without leaving too. If you're just like, if you're someone that like wants to evolve, the people that like don't want to and just say company people at like a certain level. But if you are someone that desires like and has the ambition to, I 100% agree you can.
And companies change, right? Like the business changes.
Well, they kind of have to, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, we hope. And, you know, I was in an environment where every single day, the movies I was watching changed.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the what was popular in the movie world changed. I was reporting on that. I was doing interviews for that. So I was always growing and changing. It never felt like I was going to the same desk and doing the same thing. I was always responding to my beat, you know, responding to what was happening.
So speaking of change, because obviously over like a 27-year career and working in like film specifically, a lot has changed. We've gone from 90-minute movies, which was the dream, to now everything's 3 hours long. That's why I was so happy Madame Web was under 2 hours. I was like, thank God, finally a movie that's under 2 hours. What would you say? I mean, obviously like social media side, but in film specifically, like in the industry, what has been the biggest change that you've noticed? If you could like pinpoint a couple.
Well, I think that the biggest change has been and, you know, technology always drives every change.
Yeah,
so streaming changed the world.
Yeah.
So those movies that we would have had that I talked about, like early, in the early 2000s, that were coming out and really saying something about the world, saying something about culture. You know, you think about In the Bedroom. I don't know why that one came out, but you think about movies that really changed the game and said something. Those are all series now.
Yeah, right. That's true.
They're all, you know, limited series that are 6 parts, 8 parts, whatever, and they're talking about social mm-hmm. issues. They're breaking careers open. They're, you know, all yeah. those things. Perfect example is like Made with Margaret Qualley, right? Yep. That would have been
a film, 100%. A film
that came out in like 2006
yeah.
and would have been like a cause celeb, and she would have been the next Renee Zellweger or Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. Like that is exactly, so I think that has changed the most, mm-hmm. the kind of content and where we find it. I love that they're now making these movies and these kind of commentaries on, you know, social issues for limited series. Mm-hmm. I love that for us. I love people being able, but I would love to go to the movies and see something that doesn't have any latex in it.
Yeah.
Also, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I still love to go and discover new characters and new people yeah. on a big screen that's not in the comfort of my home. Although I love the comfort of my home.
But there are like there are things that you lose when you're not having that, especially because at the comfort of home, I'm going to have my phone out. You're still going to be distracted. Like there's those films that's why like the festival is amazing. And like something like Alice, Darling was something that probably like I would have scrolled past on a streaming service, to be honest. Yeah. So I would have just been like, oh, okay. Like whatever. It's Anna Kendrick. I would have just like ignored it, but then going to the festival to see it. And when you can't have your phone out, you're just like fully immersed in it with the suspense. Like that's something that I'm so happy it was like in a theater and I was able to experience that. And I feel like that's like the gap that we experience a lot with streaming, because there's so many options that now it's like you lose some of those moments that you're supposed to be sitting in your feels, like experiencing something on the big screen.
Do you think that's like, what are the positives and negatives that you see in that? I think one for me would be that if we're looking at a limited series versus something that might've been a movie previously, mm-hmm. you know, that's a commitment of an hour and a half, 2 hours, to now it's like I got to sit down and watch something at 6, 10. Maybe 8 hours long, which is great because you can dive into a subject that you're interested in super in-depthly. But then at the same time, there's just so much media out there to consume that mm-hmm. stuff goes missing sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, history has a way of repeating itself, right? And so right now we've been in the golden age of television for a while mm-hmm. now. But I think that what is going to happen is, you guys maybe are too young. Sarah, I don't know exactly your background, Jacob, but Sarah, you might remember it just from the industry. But when digital television became a thing mm-hmm. and everybody had a channel, like there was a yeah. knitting channel, there was a golf, mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a golf channel, but there is, you know, there was every, you know, small little niche channel.
That's how sports channels became a thing, was literally because of that.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. And they all didn't survive.
Correct.
Right.
There was just too much out yeah. there. And the same is going to happen with streamers. And the same is going to happen with content.
Yeah.
So if I had a crystal ball, you know, I would be very, very rich. Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, there are certain things that I'm drawn to that other people aren't. There's a lot that I'm not drawn. I don't watch any reality.
I'm a reality newbie. I'm new to it, though. I'm new.
I know. And everybody's like, you know, referencing Vanderpump. And I have no, like, there's yeah. something that I'm missing in terms of my pop culture reference because I'm not there. And I'm struggling with, do I need to go back? Do I need to go there? But at the same time,
do you have time to? I feel like you have to watch so much stuff.
This is the
don't
you
do
sacrifice
it.
A lot don't. Of other good
I literally,
stuff.
So. I literally, the only reason I can get through things like Vanderpump and like Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is because while I'm cooking and stuff, it's just always on in the background. Like it's mindless. Like they're just yelling at each other. It's like your family at a reunion yelling at each other in the background. You're not really paying attention. Like that's how it feels. But like if you have to be like for your job, you need to like be paying attention. No, like I wouldn't. Don't get into that world. Don't yeah. do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's
and
not
I
worth the references.
So, and like I watch a lot of movies that other people like. I watch a lot of movies.
Yeah, of course.
I watch a lot of smaller movies. I try to watch as much series as I can. Like I just binge Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, did you like it?
Well, you just
I
watched
loved
it, didn't you?
I loved it too.
And I just want to look. I went back and forth between loving Donald Glover and loving Maya Erskine. Everything is a time commitment, but I used to spend more time in theaters. So you just to go back to your question of the pros and the cons of streaming versus theatrical. Listen, I mean, I'm glad there's so much great content out there. I'm glad that so many people are mm-hmm. being able to make content that people are discovering, and we can share things differently.
Yeah, and well, the stories get told. Like, you look at like the Emmys as an example, and like it used to, like shows like The Big Bang Theory having like the record for like the most like Emmys in a or those right. types of shows, you know what I mean? Like those types of shows that had like, or Frasier having like all of these shows that held these records for so long, it's because like there was nothing else for them to compete against. Whereas now, like, you have like five unbelievable like comedy shows against each other, and you're like, I actually have no idea who's gonna win. Or like a limited series like Beef that I'd never heard of that just like comes out of nowhere and sweeps. Like it really, the Emmys this year showed me how vastly different the landscape is in a wonderful way, because yeah. it like, otherwise it was the same. It was NBC and ABC winning everything.
Also, just to go back to The Big Bang Theory, that show is offside. Have you watched? So I'm a big Jeopardy fan. I watch a lot of Jeopardy, like yeah. every night Jeopardy. And somehow I get to Big Bang Theory comes on before or after. Anyway, yeah. somehow I see like, it is so terrible really? Against women. Like for yeah. women.
I never watched it.
I know.
And it is so homophobic.
Yeah.
And it is. It's not good. It does yeah. not age well, and it's not that old.
No, it was like when I was like through like middle school into high school is when it was like peak of it being on air. And yeah, it was like, it's one of those ones you look back on. And when we like in a comedy writing class, we'd have to like look back on shows with laugh tracks and like yeah, analyze yeah. them and stuff. And it was one with a laugh track that they'd remove the laugh track, and then you're not laughing at any of it because you're like, oh,
problematic. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
problematic.
I'm happy for Bare Naked Ladies. Take all the money.
Yeah, 100%.
But I am not happy about that content. Now it yeah. shaped a generation around. It's crazy. Oh my goodness.
But then anyway. Yeah, on the other side, then you get like a show like Modern Family that comes out at the same time, which actually was ahead of its time in the way that it did, right? So it's like so funny. But it was just the Emmys really opened my eyes to like all, and also how many different streaming services there are. There's like a million. But now we hear reports of like Paramount and Peacock want to like merge now, or like those types of things.
Exactly what happened with digital television.
They start
right?
merging mm-hmm. and become
exactly mixed. It is going to repeat itself. Yeah. We are going to find ourselves, and then there's going to be a dearth. Like there will be, you know, yeah. there will be the ups and downs of it. And what I really, really hope happens through that time is we still get to see diversity in a way that yeah, I think is I finally happening in right. television.
It's so exciting.
You know, you bring up Beef.
Yeah.
You know, Ali and Steven were just so fantastic. And it was so specifically an Asian American experience. Mm-hmm. It was so specifically about being first mm-hmm. gen Asian Americans. It was, you know, the A storyline. And it's really, really important that people are telling those stories, and that millions and millions of people are being exposed to that emotional experience.
100%. One thing that I feel like was always like a status, that we were talking about status before and being on television, but I feel like there was always the status of being a movie star versus being like a television star. That was like the thing forever. It's like someone that's just on TV versus in film. But now, like, do you think that it's like, it's flipped? Because I mean, you see Zendaya, who's going to be in like some of the biggest box office films of the year, but then she also does a series on HBO. Like, do
I mean,
we
same with Sydney Sweeney? Yeah, they're
Sydney Sweeney's the yeah. same way. Exactly. Like all these like quote unquote movie stars now, like Nicole Kidman, Queen of Limited Series, yeah. Queen of AMC commercials, and then Queen of Limited Series.
Reese Witherspoon,
Jodie Foster,
Jodie. Yeah.
Joe. So, do you Bow. Think that that idea of just being a movie star, being like the like top level of it, like is kind of mellowed out because it's meshed a bit in your experience?
I think that your correlation between the idea of being on TV and being that being kind of an influencer thing yeah. back in the day, the same thing has happened with the idea of movies and television. It is about eyeballs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you draw eyeballs to the content that you are a part of?
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer about the medium.
No.
It is right. about your ability to draw an audience. And is that on TikTok? Is that on a multiplex screen?
Yeah.
Is that on a podcast? I mean, yeah. where is it that you are able to get people to watch what you're mm-hmm. doing? That's what it's about now. And it's quantifiable in a way that it didn't used to be. People can really see numbers with the digital platforms in a way that they were so opaque yeah. back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's just a lot more transparency now 100%. Around, wait a minute, does anybody actually watching what this person is doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I did want to jump back actually quickly to Sarah. You referenced The Big Bang Theory and kind of maybe traditional sitcoms winning kind of all of the awards. And now mm-hmm. they're being more niche content with like kind of rabid fan bases for yeah. various different shows that are all, you know, span a ton of different genres and are all good in their own right. I did want to get your opinion on award shows as we're kind of in the midst of the season here on how award shows categorize say the best pictures. Oscars obviously a few years ago had the scare of bringing in the most popular award for a film, and they kind of lump in a larger category with everything in there now. Something like the Golden Globes breaks it up a little bit into musical and comedy and drama. Do you think that award shows really do a good job at picking what the best films are or TV shows are throughout the years?
Award season is a business.
Yeah, of course.
Releasing a movie is a business, and award season is a business. To have a nomination at the Oscars, at the Golden Globes, costs millions and millions of dollars. You hold screenings, they cost money. You hold Q&As, they cost money.
You send out screeners saying, please consider.
You send out screeners. You send out swag.
Yeah.
I mean, there are rules for, I'm a member of the Critics' Choice Association, and there are rules in terms of what people can send us and what people can't, in terms of value. But it is a huge business. So to think about, I see all kinds of movies that I'm like, oh, I just wish they had the... money, you know, remember last year, was it last year when Andrea Riseborough was nominated for Two Leslie? She was nominated in the Best Actress category. It was a tiny, tiny little movie, and it was outraged because for a million reasons.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah. And one of the things that made everybody so surprised in the industry was, how did they do this? Because they didn't have the budget to actually procure the votes for her. And, you know, she had a lot of very famous friends who held screenings for her, who posted on their social media, which is actually against the rules. And there was some scuttlebutt about that. But it is a business. So, you know, I always say this year, you know, with the outrage around Greta and Margot, Greta not being nominated for Best Director and Margot not being nominated for Best Actress for Barbie. They both have nominations for the film because it's nominated for Best Picture.
And writing is also nominated as well.
Correct. Yeah. So they do have nominations. But in those specific categories, the outrage of all of that, it is, you know, it is a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a complication around... not everything is going to get nominated. I was more upset of Greta not getting a Best Director nomination because I do think it's patriarchy. Yeah, and I agree. Think in a year that we had incredible films by female filmmakers and we only have one female filmmaker nominated. Mm-hmm. Shout out Justine Triet, Anatomy of Fall, fantastic movie. But where's Celine Song?
I know.
Where's Ava DuVernay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Origin is spectacular. I don't know if you've watched Origin.
I haven't.
Put it on your list. It's spectacular. Where's A.V. Rockwell for 1001? Another great, great movie. So there were not only Greta, right?
Yeah.
Celine Song. Oh, did I say her?
Yeah.
Because I'll say her
all the time. Over and over again.
Canadian Celine Song. So, you know, in a year where we had incredible movies by female filmmakers, I would have liked to see more than one nominated for Best Director. I mean, historically, there have only been 8 women nominated in the history of the Academy Awards, and only 3 have won, and that's all in recent memory. Did I answer your question? Do they do a good job of what actually is the best? No, they don't. because there can't only be 10 best movies. There can't only be 5 best actors, actresses, supporting. That would be a problem if we're only putting out that few, right? It's why I hate what it looks like is going to be a sweep by Oppenheimer this year.
Yeah.
A, I didn't love Oppenheimer. And B, I don't think that... Again, going back to the early 2000s, dang nabbit, I'm so old. But you had a variety of things being recognized back in those days. You could have a great performance in a movie that didn't go on to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, and things seem to be adjudicated for those categories. So I love award shows. You brought up the Emmys. I love the Emmys this year.
Yeah,
I love
they were so good this year.
Oh, the nostalgia, the romance.
It was so good.
It felt like it was produced by people who love television.
Exactly. Exactly. They got it right. It was like the first award show in years that I didn't roll my eyes.
Yeah. Did you see the promo for this year's Oscars?
With the Barbie promo. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
They recreated like the scene up with in the weird Barbie's house.
Like, oh,
so, like,
okay.
And so
it's
Jimmy Kimmel like going along with like the Barbie cast. And then like they make a joke about Greta not being nominated and Margot not being nominated. Like they do all of that.
Oh,
but
fun.
It's like with the cast. It's really well done.
And I was like, Not that I don't want the Oscars to be all Barbie. I really, really don't. No. I think that would be a bad choice.
Nor that it should be. Pardon me? Nor that it should
be. No, it shouldn't. But I hope tonally
that
is that's the what vibe. They're doing. I hope that's the vibe. I hope that they are like leaning into the fact of we love movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love this art form that we are creating. We love the impact it has on people's lives. I use a hashtag often called movies matter that I just write hashtag movies matter. And because I really think they do. I really think movies can change your day, change your energy, open your eyes up to something, learn about other people. I really, really think movies do matter. And so I, every year I'm so hopeful that the Academy Awards are going to satisfy that feeling that I have about movies.
Well, okay, maybe we'll start here. What was or one or a couple of movies from this year that did make you feel something? Made you
that proved that movies matter.
Yeah. So my favorite movie from 2023 was Past Lives.
You know what? Same. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's on my list. I'm watching it this weekend. I still haven't seen it.
Put your phone away. Like
One that I want to fully immerse myself in.
Like light that candle.
Yeah, light my candles. I'll put my lights all off. It'll be good.
And I mean, the great thing about Past Lives is it can't be spoiled for you. It legitimately is an emotional experience to watch the movie, no matter what you know about it, no matter what you don't know about it. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah. Especially like one of the last conversations at the bar, you just kind of have to sit there and you're right. You have to watch it happen.
Oh my God, maybe I'll come tonight and watch it.
It's a thing.
Yes.
It's a thing. And like Greta Lee is having a moment. She was amazing in The Morning Show.
Yeah.
And now she's just so spectacular in this. Celine Song, like just hand her whatever she wants to do next. Yeah. I think she's going to do a movie with Margot Robbie's production company, Lucky Chap.
Yeah.
Because I interviewed Margot and I brought up Celine because Margot also produced Saltburn. And so I was talking to her about female filmmakers because Emerald Fennell and obviously Greta. And then I brought up Celine because I bring up Celine anytime I can. And she was like, oh my God, I love Celine's song. And I was like, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And Past Lives is a movie that it feels like it's from a little bit of a different time. Mm-hmm. It feels like it could have been on a streamer. You know what I mean? Like that idea. But I'm so grateful that I saw it on the big screen. Yeah. I heard all this buzz about it out of Sundance. And then I kind of ran to see it as quickly as I could. And I was in the theaters and I was like, whew, how did you take me where you took me?
Yeah.
And thank you. And thank you for introducing me to this really complex idea of what we expect our lives to be and where we end up and how we can love where we end up, but still be sad about what we've lost.
Would you say that's a movie that, I mean, because it still got a Best Picture nomination and it still has like some, but do you think that's an example of a movie that maybe didn't have the financial backing behind it to be able to put it more at the forefront?
Yeah, I mean, I think that nobody can be sad about the trajectory of Past Lives. It's had an amazing run. Mm-hmm. It's got amazing buzz. People are, you know, yelling it from the rooftops, and we are seeing it be recognized at, you know, the most important award show, arguably the Oscars, and I'm thrilled for that. How much more could it have gotten? Listen, I would have loved to see Greta be nominated. I think she was deserving, and I would have loved a director nomination for Celine.
Yeah.
But I'm not sad for Past Lives because what all of this means is that Celine's song
is going to get more opportunities later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to look at for, you know, kind of getting through the weeds of those, you know, up to 10 Best Picture nominations and directors. Is when you start digging down to what movies are people talking about award season, whether they actually get that nomination or not. Like, let's hope what this means for Celine Song, for A.V. Rockwell, Ava DuVernay, you know, all these filmmakers who did incredible work this year, that we're seeing more from mm-hmm. them.
Well, I do like, that's a really good point, because what I like best about this time of year is talking to friends about what they've seen, what they've enjoyed for the mm-hmm. last few months, what they're trying to catch up on, and get recommendations that way. Because yeah, I find that they're maybe the kind of in the expectation, maybe that like 10 to 7 range at the bottom of the best picture nomination list in terms of who's maybe likely to win, but equally fantastic films that deserve to be watched and, like you say, for like past lives especially, experienced.
Yeah,
because they are an amazing stories.
And then I feel all like nervous because I feel like I've totally, you know, elevated past lives. It still is, you know, a movie. It's not, of course, and I had an experience years ago with a movie called Sideways, Alexander Payne's Sideways, which Paul Giamatti was in, and you know, they reunited this year for the holdovers, and it was in the Toronto International Film Festival. I missed it at TIFF, mm-hmm. and I just got to it late. It was one of those ones that I got to late. Once, by the time I saw it, I'd heard so much about it, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to go into it with that. Like, I want you to go into it with, like...
I'm going in blind because I actually have no idea what it's about. Sweet. So I'm going to go in blind, just put my phone away, experience it. So you're speaking about Celine Song. Canadian.
Yeah.
You're like endlessly shouting from the rooftops about Canadian film, Canadian filmmakers, Canadian talent. Why do you think it's so important to do that?
Because, you know, we are next to the biggest exporter of movies in the world, mm-hmm. and we are eclipsed by that big marketing machine and everything big and shiny that's coming out of Hollywood, mm-hmm. and we are telling equally great stories here. I want people to see and hear those stories,
yep.
and I want the talent that is making those stories to keep making them here, although I'm very happy for everybody who's gone to the States and is doing great things.
Well, they go to the States, but then they come back here to film because the tax write-off.
Yes, because of the tax credits. And because they came up with crews that are the best in the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, tax credits matter, but... you know, we have world-class crews in this city in Toronto. So
I heard, I think it was on another podcast, actually, Matt Johnson talking about how it was actually difficult to find space to shoot Blackberry because so many crews were coming, productions were coming here because we have such good crews.
Yeah, we have called service productions versus Indigenous productions. So anything that's here that is here for tax credit reasons.
Yeah. Something like Trump that just finished shooting here. Absolutely. Or that, The Apprentice, whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
That one.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, those crews and, you know, those are bigger budgets. Crews make more money. Mm-hmm. There's also a reason we then have the best in the world. And so it's
a balance.
Yeah, it's a balance. But yeah, Matt would have huge stories to tell about that, I'm sure. Blackberry, such a great movie. Love the success of that movie. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I shout from the rooftops about Canadian film and Canadian talent. And also, you know, when I started at TMN, you know, we started from nothing. I wasn't immediately asked to interview the biggest stars in the world.
Of course.
I started off interviewing Canadian talent, and they gave me time.
Yeah.
They gave me an opportunity to learn how to do interviews mm-hmm. and make mistakes. And, you know, The Sweet Hereafter, Adam Goyen's The Sweet Hereafter is a movie that changed my life because I watched it and was blown away by what I saw. And it was a kind of movie that I, you know, at 24 years old, I'd never really been exposed to before. Mm-hmm. And when I interviewed Adam, who's now a friend in Transparency, but when I interviewed him and he said to me, now this might sound self-aggrandizing, but Adam's a very generous person. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the movie and he said to me, you got it. You really, really got it. Mm-hmm. And it went on to be nominated for 2 Academy Awards. And to hear a person who has made that level of art say to you as a kid who's trying to figure out if you have something to say about the medium of movies, the art of movies, to hear somebody like that say to you, you really got it.
Mm.
That was a game changer for me. And there have been so many Canadian talent, mm-hmm. filmmakers, actors, who I've had some of the best experiences with, and I'm so grateful to them. And I also love the movies that we're making in this country. Yeah. So I will keep shouting.
I love that. Someone has to do it. I feel like there's not enough shouting for Canadian talent, but I feel like it's shifting a bit. I feel like the
the pandemic everyone obviously being afraid that theaters were going to die and all of that, and luckily they didn't and people still go to the movies. I'm starting to see more Canadian films in theaters, which is great. Like places like Elevation is really good at now making sure that Canadian films end up in Canadian theaters, which is really exciting. But what do you say to people when they're like, oh, well, you can tell it's a Canadian production? Because I feel like that's like a very common thing is like, when, like the biggest thing about Blackberry, like my partner went to go see it. He comes back and he goes, I go, oh, how was he? He goes, it was great. Like you couldn't tell it was Canadian. So I feel like that comes along with this idea that it's like a Mickey Mouse version of like the States. Like, have you like battled with that your entire career?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. People have said it to me and I often say, I don't know what that means. Cause I, yeah. And I'm not trying to be, you know, glib. I don't know what it yeah. means. I mean, is it a Marvel movie? No, it's not. Is it?
It didn't have a $250 million budget. No,
no, it didn't. But that's not why I go to movies. No. I go to movies to feel something.
Of course.
I go to movies to meet new people.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the people also watching the movie. I mean the people on screen.
Yeah.
And that is, to me, I don't care if it's Canadian. I don't care if it's American. I don't care if it's British. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's French. I don't care where it's from. If I feel something and I meet new people who I either never want to see again.
Yeah, exactly. That happens. Yeah, exactly.
Or they're people that I wish I could spend more time with. That's what matters to me going to a movie. I think that Canadian thing, mm-hmm. that, oh, it's Canadian. We have a tendency in this country to kind of like shit on ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about our healthcare system.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We were talking about, you know, and I feel like that dovetails a little bit.
Translates into everything else.
Yeah.
It's the same with, I mean, like working in sports, you see it with like people being so shocked that like Canada wins like 25 medals at a Summer Olympics. It's like, no, like we're like a summer sport. Like they just, like people are just so used to this idea. Oh, no, we're like bad at that or we're bad at this or we're not like Or we're not them. Because we're so like easily compared to like, we can't compare to the States. They have like 400, however many million people live
Divide
there.
Divide everything by 10. Yeah. We are 10% of the United States.
100%.
We have like 38 million people. They have 380 million people. Like that is divide everything by 10. And I guarantee you the production values and the level of art that we're making in the medium of movies here in this country is not divided by 10.
No.
It is.
Yeah, not a chance.
Yeah. Go and see a Canadian movie.
Yeah.
You know, watch something. And, you know, just like... you know, you're so well versed in so many things, Sarah, but you know, your core being sports, just like the more sports you watch, the more literate you become about sports.
Of course.
It's the same thing with movies. The more movies you watch, the more you understand the art form of storytelling mm-hmm. on a big screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so watch more movies and educate, if you care about entertainment, if you want that, but try not to, I don't want to be preachy here, but try not to marginalize something that you're not very educated in.
Yeah, true. No, but it's true.
That makes me a little bit.
But it's like, it's judging something. We were talking before about like Madame Web as an example and people like judging something before they've actually like experienced it. It's the same thing. Like he said that and I was like, in my head, I was like, when was the last time you watched a Canadian movie though? Which is fair. Cause it's like, when is the last time that any of us really like intentionally watch a Canadian film? I think there's like series and stuff, but this a series or a television show is not the same viewing experience as a film ever, especially when you're really trying to sit there and watch intently. So my question is, if our audience is like listening, they're like, okay, Terry, I want to watch more Canadian movies. Give us like three that you think that they should watch. They don't have to be in the past year.
Okay, like, well, I'm going to keep it recent because if not, I can't keep it to three.
Yeah, that's so true.
I've got
three recent ones then.
Okay, so a movie that I loved, and I, you know when you walk out of a movie and you like can't understand why everybody else isn't like...
Yeah. On a high. Yeah, I know.
So there's a movie called Until Branches Bend. Sophie Jarvis directed it. She was a production designer, so it's like beautiful. French kiss, beautiful. Yeah. Written by the two women who wrote and directed a movie called The Body Remembers When the World Broke Down. I think I'm calling it The Body Remembers When the World Broke, When the World Died, When
something like that.
Anyway, written by those two spectacularly talented women. It is a kind of psychological drama about a woman, Grace Glowicki, who gets pregnant through an affair, and then something in her small town, which is actually the Okanagans, which we never see the Okanagans in this country, is infecting the peach farm. And it is kind of an environmental thriller matched with drama. It is spectacularly great. And it's called Until Branches Bend, and I highly recommend it. Okay. There's a movie called The Queen of My Dreams. It's opening theatrically. Yeah. Amrit Kaur is in it, and she's spectacular. She was in The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And she's also in a Doritos commercial right now. And I'm just like, I can't even I can't even take my eyes off of her in the Doritos commercial. She's just such a star. And this is a mother-daughter story. Mother trying to figure out why the daughter trying to figure out why the mom is as difficult as she is, and we go between two different time periods in Canada and Pakistan. Fantastic. And Suze is a great movie. It's out in theaters right now. Michaela Watkins is in it. Sarah Weisglass is in it. She's in Ginny in Georgia. It's a story of a middle-aged woman who kind of everybody is just an asshole to, like in the way that people are kind of assholes to middle-aged women, like their kids are jerks to them, their ex-husband's a jerk to them, and she figures out a way to come into her own and or find happiness. And she doesn't have a big arc. It's like everybody around her has to figure out how to behave better because she is a steady. Yeah. Michaela Watkins is a great performer. And so there's three.
I love
amazing.
That.
And they're all very recent and should be
I literally just
accessible.
Got fed an ad for Suze today. Oh, yeah. on my Instagram, I got fed one.
Yeah, it's good. I did the intro for it for the premiere here in Toronto, and I watched it, and it was one of those movies that halfway through I was like, why is my face, and I realized
you're
I was just
smiling
the whole
time, the whole
thing, and then I teared up. I mean, she plays a character who's 52. I'm 52 years old, so like-minded, and Sarah plays her jerk face daughter, but Sarah doesn't pull any punches, and she really is, and we can all relate to being that way to our moms,
yeah,
I think,
100%.
At that time when we're totally selfish, so it's super relatable, really fun. I think Canadian movies get a rep for being really dark and twisted and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all dark, twisted, and weird. No. You can find them. You can find those ones. If anybody wants some of those, slide into my DMs. I can send some recos there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a few.
You have amazing recommendations. We're definitely going to check those out. How many movies do you actually watch a month? Because you're throwing out recommendations left, right, and center here. I got
to
imagine
it's
big.
What's the easiest way
for
you to break it down?
Yeah,
is
a
week
year,
easier,
week?
Easier for you to break it down?
On average, I would probably say I watch a movie a day.
Oh wow!
That makes sense.
Yeah. For
if
sure,
it's your job to watch movies. Yeah. Watching a movie, so you're watching 30 times. I don't know how to do math.
I probably watch about 300 movies a year.
Wow. So do you ever circle back on things?
Yeah, I circle back on a lot because I do City Line quite often, and so they often are asking me to do like compilation stuff.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Like I was just on and doing like movies that are speak to the love languages.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh,
and
so you can
so,
circle. I was like, in my head, you never get to like go back to your favorite films.
I
then?
Do. So I got to rewatch Moulin Rouge, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And like, listen, there are people who hate Moulin Rouge, the White Hot Passion of a million suns. And that's another thing I love about movies is you can two people can sit and watch a movie and one person can be like levitating afterwards and another person can be like, what did I just watch? I don't get it. And Moulin Rouge was one of those movies. I love it. It's in my top 10 of all time.
Do you love
what were you gonna say?
I was gonna talk about the post watch.
Okay, so I'm gonna steal something from Letterboxd because now I want to know all three, because I have mine. So I want to know everyone's four favorite films. So that's a Letterboxd, because Letterboxd is four favorites. You can take. Do you guys want? I can have mine on my. Yeah, I have mine on my Letterboxd.
So I have to get into Letterboxxd, don't I? I have to start doing it.
But you don't. Have
I
to.
Just
it's
started,
for, it's for,
so I haven't actually rated
like
that much
actual
stuff. But I can pull
critic,
it up.
So it's for the people like me who just want to write silly comment. Letterboxd actually might enrage you because it's those film bros that just like. Think that because they now have a voice
well, it is,
that
and
they...
it isn't because I'm blanking on her name but she's in The Bear who's the
oh Io is
yes,
on The Bear
but she has the funniest Letterboxd she actually had to
so you
delete
can follow
a few
she had to delete a few
trouble,
she's getting
but...
in trouble but you
also
can
high recommend
people.
On a movie called I Like Movies
I like movies.
I like movies. Chandler LaVac's movie. I like movies. It got lots of love and deserves as much as we can give it. Check that one out too.
I literally have a Letterboxd list called Four Favorites in Case I Get Asked on a Red Carpet.
Very good.
I'm giving it away now.
Run us through.
I love your prep. I always love your like future prep. Future CR loves you.
And it'll probably change before then. But I have La La Land.
Sweet. Love it. Did that junket.
Greta Gerwig, Little Women. One obviously. I watch it quarterly. The Truman Show.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sarah,
that's a good one.
And then my last is the original 1980s Anne of Green Gables.
Very oh wow.
Good. With Megan Foley. Follows. Megan, yeah, Megan Follows. And I well that whole series, but the original Anne of Green Gables. Those are my four.
You need to lean into Sarah Polly Land.
Yeah.
Because when you've got Little Women in there and when you've got the original Anne of Green Gables mm-hmm. in there, there's a Sarah Polly Land that is waiting for
me?
You.
I love that.
Like, have you seen the movie that she did, Take This Waltz?
No.
Oh, watch Take This Waltz. Because Steven Spielberg, Sarah Polly wants her cast back. It was Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen who went on to star in The Fablemans for Steven Spielberg. And they are in Take This Waltz for Sarah Polly.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. Yeah, those are my four faves. Do you have yours? Are you looking at your list?
I pulled up a few, but I haven't rated everything. I just created my Letterboxd account. So I've
four favorite
been adding over the last month.
Four favorite films.
I'm going to go through four favorite or a couple of favorites that I have. One of my most recent favorites, Dream Scenario. I really enjoyed.
Okay, sorry guys, I've never
the passion,
been in
front of a passion, the passion, the passion, the passion.
I started in radio. I need to watch Dream Scenario. Nicolas Cage, can be I have to be in a Nicolas Cage mood.
Okay, that is very fair. I will say he is not very traditional Nicolas Cagey in this one. Nicolas he's definitely Cagey. Wacky, but
as if it's an adjective.
I think he's almost the perfect person to play this role in this movie because it's just kind of a
those who love
movie.
Dream Scenario love it a lot. What
yeah, else, yeah. Well, it is a little polarizing too because I know a few people who watched it after my recommended and they hated it.
What else you got there?
1 week.
Oh, 1 week, sweet.
One
Canadian.
Of my all-time
Joshua
favorite
Jackson.
Movies. Yeah, yeah.
Michael McGowan.
And a Gordowney quick second in the middle of it, which is like a standout for me and maybe led to like a breakup at one point in my life.
Go back and watch a movie called St. Ralph, which led Michael McGowan to make 1 week. And then Mike just made another great movie. Musical interlude while you tell your other two while I
yeah no those are the I'm very There's interested no, in that
those are your only two
no no I'm gonna pull up a couple other ideas.
I love
can't
this.
Use past life or sorry past lives because I already talked about that. I'm trying to look at older ones that I've rated highly. I have to give a shout out to a documentary as well, Free Solo. I know a lot of people don't like to watch it, but the guy who free soloed El Cap, it's just a wild visually. I find it a visually stunning movie, which is something that I wanted to watch. Just got to give a shout out to documentaries here as well.
All My Puny Sorrows
All
is
My
another
Puny
movie
Sorrows.
That Michael McGowan made starring Sarah Gadon and Alison Pill, based on a novel by, I'm screwing this up, guys. Sorry. Miriam Taves, who also wrote Women Talking.
I love Women Talking.
Yeah, won the Academy
I love Women Talking.
I love Women Talking.
Yeah, right.
That was one of my favorite films. Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
That was one of my favorite films last year. I won a lot of money for betting on Sarah Polly.
always bet. Listen.
And and All Quiet on the Western Front winning for like best sound or whatever. I was like, guys, it's a war movie. It's obviously winning best sound. Anyways.
Yeah.
That was Sarah Polly did win me some nice moolah. We only have a couple minutes, so I need your top.
I can't. Moulin Rouge is right up there, but I've watched thousands and thousands
and thousands
of movies.
That's true.
And here's the thing that movies do for me is my favorites change all the time because it depends on what I want to feel.
Yeah.
And so if I want to laugh, maybe I'm watching Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
If I want to cry, maybe there's a multitude of them that make me cry, but if I want to think, if I want to, movies do so much for me emotionally that my favorite changes based on either what I want to feel or surprising how it makes me feel at the time I'm feeling it. And when the volume of what I watch, it would be wrong. I mean, I can tell you, you know, some that I really don't like and I think are ridiculous that have reached the acclaim that they have. But yeah, it's really hard for me. It's kind of an impossibility. Yeah. And so I always kind of duck and avoid that one. Yeah. Sorry,
well,
guys.
You should maybe just have in your back pocket in case you're ever on a carpet and Letterboxd asks you what your four favorite films are. So that's why I'm always prepared, just
in case. We'll be keeping an eye out for your Letterboxd. We'll keep an eye out
just for once Terry Hart's Letterboxd four favorites comes up one day.
I want to see Sarah's like notes section. What does Sarah Jenkins' notes section look like? Because it must be dense.
I don't know what. Jacob is more of the notes person than I am. I right now have my LA packing list and LA content ideas. That's kind of what
I
did
last,
today.
I just said Jeffrey Wright in my last review. Jeffrey Wright should
American
be in
fiction.
Every movie.
American Fiction is a great movie.
Yeah, I watched that last night. I enjoyed it.
Watch Origin. Origin blew my mind.
Oh, okay. I'll add to my list.
And 1001.
Exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on Talking Fast. We talked fast and long all about movies, which I loved. It was so good. I hope it was as good for you as it was for us.
It was better.
Oh, I love
it
that.
It was better.
Glad to have you back because I could talk about movies all day long and media and entertainment. Yeah. Thank you, as always, to everybody for listening to this episode of Talking Fast. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Follow us at Talking Fast Show. And if you want to submit a voicemail question, email us at talkingfastshow@gmail.com or Talking Fast Show on Instagram. Shoot us a DM and we do call outs. This has been another episode and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.